There is fire in the house tonight. You can stand to your feet. It is such an honor tonight to be able to introduce our guest speaker, Brother Rufus Parker from La Crosse, Wisconsin. He's the author of 4 books plus a woman's devotional, I believe, a year-long devotional, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? You could correct me if he's over there saying, you don't even got this right. They're on the vestibule, 5 books for sale. Also, Morning Manna. How many of you tune in every morning, get Morning Manna on email or Facebook? He puts that out with him and his wife, Pam. Now, I understand after getting to know both of them that what makes Rufus look so good is his wife, Pam. Sister Parker is an incredible lady, an incredible woman of God, and she's a great friend. My wife and her are great friends, and it's just such an honor to have them here tonight to be able to take and minister to us. Brother Parker, I want you to come and preach to us like Rufus Parker preaches. God bless you, brother.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't God good? All the time. Amen. All the time God is good. Amen. How good has He been? If He's been real good, you ought to clap your hands. If He's been real good, you ought to start shouting for joy. If you've been real good, you ought to start leaping up and down. Because He's worthy of all the glory. He's worthy of the honor. He's worthy of all our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament show forth His handiworks. The Bible said, day unto day they utter speech, and night unto night they show forth knowledge. Amen. There's nothing hid from God. Amen. You are serving the most awesome God there is. The Lord asked Abraham, He says, is there anything too hard for God? I don't know any. If you find something too hard for God, I want you to tell me about it. There's nothing too hard for God. We greet you tonight from La Crosse. Amen. It is so good to be back in Madison. Thank you so much, Pastor Grant and Pastor Grant and the ministry of Calvary Gospel Church. Amen. I want to also thank you on behalf of the ladies ministry in the district on your giving for Mother's Memorial. Amen. That is awesome. Amen. You guys are doing great things for the kingdom of God. Amen. And so you should rejoice and be excited about what you're doing for the kingdom of God. Amen. God is awesome. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm not going to keep you long. Amen. When preachers say that, you're in trouble, right? To the book of Matthew tonight, if you have your Bibles, chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I'll be reading verse 1 through verse 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have bore the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto them this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few be chosen. And I want to minister to you from this thought tonight, the qualification to be chosen. The qualification to be chosen. Father, I love you. I give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving, God, for all you are. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove. God, I want to thank you again today for letting me see this day. I want to thank you again for giving me another opportunity, God, to minister your word. I want to thank you again, God, for the people that are under the sound of my voice tonight. Lord, I want to thank you that we have breath in our bodies, Lord, that we are alive tonight. And I want to thank you for this roof that's over our head tonight. God, I want to thank you for men and women like Brother and Sister John Grant, who had a vision, Lord God, for a church here in Madison. Lord God, and for their establishing this lighthouse on the corner, God, that others could see the truth, Lord God, and come into this place to receive salvation. I want to thank you, Lord God, for your healing touch tonight. God, your word tell us that you were wounded for our transgressions and you were bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon you, and with your stripes, God, we are healed. And we claim that healing tonight in our bodies, Lord God. Your word tell us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, God. And we thank you that neither is there salvation in any other, God, for there is none other name in the heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. And we thank you for the name of Jesus, God, and for those that need your spirit and power in their lives tonight, God. I know that you will hear their cry, Lord, because you tell us to give a call to you and you would hear us from heaven. And I thank you right now, God, for what you're already doing in every life, Lord. There's those, the God, under the sound of my voice that may have to make major decisions, God, tonight. And I ask you, Lord God, that you will direct their steps and order their paths according to your word. For you alone are worthy, God, to receive glory and honor and thanksgiving. And when this night is over, God, may we realize that you have been with us, God, and you have guided and led us through this night. And we will give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated tonight. Praise God. The qualifications to be chosen. As Jesus began to tell the parable about the man who went out and began to hire laborers to operate in his field, we noticed that at the end of the day, when those who had gone out first became a little bit envious, or could I say a little bit jealous, up against the ones who came in last, and they all received the same amount. What you need to understand here is God is fair, God is equal, and God is just in all that he does. Amen. When God lets you and I know that salvation is freely given, it doesn't make any hour what hour you come in. Amen. You can come in at the 11th hour, you can come in at the first hour, you're still going to receive the same thing. Amen. What I receive from God, you can receive from God. God is a just God. He's a fair God. Amen. And so he began to tell us about the laborers in the vineyard. But then he began to close it out with this comment: the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Could God be saying to you and I in regards to the last and to the first that we must realize that we cannot enter heaven with a flesh and that we live in? You see, this is why the Bible tells us that we must walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We must understand, as Paul told the church at Corinth, that as we have bore the image of the earthly, we must bear the image of the heavenly. In other words, there must be a flip over so you get out of the flesh and get in the Spirit if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, because flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see, this flesh must take second nature and the spiritual man must take preeminence in our lives. Jesus Christ must become first in your life if you're going to be chosen to reign and be with him for the rest of your life. You see, some people think it's okay to just take a scroll and take it real easy. Amen. But no, my brothers and sisters, you must begin to apply everything you can towards the kingdom of God and to begin to prepare yourself for the soon coming of the Lord. The first man, the Bible lets us know, was a living soul. The second man was made a quickening spirit. So God desires that we too begin to become the spiritual man that he desires us to become. And this is why we need the Holy Ghost. This is why we need the Spirit of God. The Bible lets us know, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. So if you're here tonight under the sound of my voice and you do not have the gift of the Holy Ghost, this is why the altar is important. This is why you should make your way to the altar as quickly as possible, that God would fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you've never been baptized in the name of the Jesus Christ, the Bible way, then you need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And God will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that you must follow peace with all men in holiness, for without shall no man see the Lord. But I want to talk to you tonight about the qualifications to be chosen. You see, the qualifications to be chosen by God is that of commitment. You got to commit yourself to the things of God if you're going to be chosen by God. Jesus walked by the seashore and he saw Peter and Andrew. They were casting their nets into the water as fishermen, and he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." You see, they had to commit themselves to follow Jesus if they were going to become what Jesus wanted them to become. You and I have to have the same principles and the same concept. If we're going to become what God desires of us to become, we have to commit ourselves and to follow after Jesus, amen, the way that he have instructed us to do. Praise God. Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name did many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. And it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Notice what Jesus is saying to you and I tonight. If we do not build our lives on the word of God, amen. If we do not become doers of God's word, amen. We cannot inhabit what God has prepared for you and I, amen. Not everyone is going into the kingdom of God, Jesus says. He says if you don't do the word, amen, that you hear, you cannot enter in. So you have to become committed to the word of God. Amen. You have to become committed to the word of God. You see, if you're not committed to the word of God, then there's no direction in your life. You will continue to walk in darkness and not into the light of God. You see, the lamp of the word, amen, the word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my pathway. Amen. If you do not commit yourself to the word of God, if there is no study of the word of God, then sin will remain in your life. Amen. And you will operate in the flesh and not in the spirit. If you are not committed to the word of God, oftentimes depression will set in your life. Stress will set in your life. Low self-esteem will set in your life. Confusion will begin to set in your life. If you're not committed to the word of God, you will find yourself in a rut. And as long as you stay in that rut, pretty soon you'll find yourself in a ditch. You see, it's easy to get out of a rut. But once you get in a ditch, you need someone else to help you get out of it. Amen. But if you commit yourself to the word of God, you see, when you're not committed to the word of God, then there's disobedience set in. And you won't do what you've been told or what you've been asked to do. When you are not committed to the word of God, you have no faith. Amen. Because you see, faith comes by hearing, and it comes by hearing the word of God. If you have not committed to the word of God, you don't have patience in your life. Amen. Oftentimes you find yourself double-minded, and you don't know what you want to do. If you're not committed to the word of God, then you cannot fill leadership roles in the church. Amen. Because you see, in order to lead, you have to learn how to be a good follower according to the word of God. You have to be committed to the things of Almighty God. You see, to have the right to reverence God, amen, is you must understand that God wants you to worship Him and serve Him justly and righteously all the days of your life. To be chosen requires commitment. We read the Hebrews 11th chapter and we say it is the faith chapter. But yes, it is the faith chapter, but not only that, it is a commitment chapter. You see, Hebrews 11 began by letting us know that Abel committed himself to do what was right. Enoch came in, committed himself that he would not see death, but he would see life. Noah, amen, committed himself to save his house and those with him. Abraham, amen, committed himself to see the promises of God. And Moses committed himself, amen, to the things of God because he endured a sin him invisible. The Bible let me know that Moses chose to suffer with the children of God to endure the pleasures of sin for a season because he had recompense, amen, recompense of the reward. Moses saw that what God was given was better than all the treasures in Egypt. You have to get to the point in your life that you see that what God has for you is more important than the things of this world. Praise God. So we must commit ourselves to the things of Almighty God. You see, when you are committed to the word of God and the things of God, you begin to grow. The things of this world become strangely dim. When Jesus began to tell the people and those that was following him, he says, except you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you have no part of me. And the Bible says from that standpoint, many went back and followed him no more. But he turned to the 12, which he had chosen, and said, will you go away also? And Peter said, Lord, unto whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I want you to understand, if you walk away from Jesus Christ, if you're not committed to Jesus Christ, you will not have eternal life. You must commit yourself. You see, communion is no more than a reminder of what Jesus Christ has done to you and for you. This is why the Bible says, as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you do show the Lord's death until he comes again. Every time you take that cup, you are saying, I am committed myself to continue to do what God has me to do. And this is where commitment is valuable and important in your life. You see, if you're not committed to the things of God, if you forget the things of God, you will soon begin to murmur and complain and bicker and forget what God has done for you. You see, when you take communion, God is saying, I want you to commit to preach this gospel. I want you to commit to me that you will be willing to share this gospel with everyone you come in contact with. The children of Israel came right to the door of the promised land. But because they had murmured and complained so much in the wilderness, when the report returned that they were giants in the land and that the city was walled, they lost their faith, because they were no longer committed to the promise that God had promised them. It has been stated that most people quit at the finish line. Israel was right at the finish line, but because they had murmured and complained and bickered so much in the wilderness, they saw their situation and their problem bigger than their God. And they began to think to themselves that their God could not do for them what he had promised that he would said he would do. You see, giants are going to keep coming in your life. David only killed Goliath, amen. And we usually focus and think that that was the only giant in the land. But no, friend, there was more giants that kept coming. And in your life, there's going to be giant problems. There's going to be giant situations. There's going to be giant circumstances that's going to continue to come into your life. But when you are committed to God, when you are steadfast to the word of God and the things of God, you will continue to overcome those things that come against you, because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. I want you to know that you've got a God who with his angels watches over you. You got a God who will put your enemies beneath your feet. You've got a God that will be with you when you're sick and when you're feeling well. You've got a God, and that God never fails. Amen. Praise God. You must commit yourself to the things of God. The Bible says that Joshua and Caleb committed themselves to God. When everyone else says we can't do it, Joshua and Caleb says we can do it. And God says of Caleb, he had another spirit. And I believe that spirit that Caleb had was the spirit of commitment. He was committed to the promises of God. He was committed to the word of God. He was committed to the leadership that was over him. He was committed to obtain the promises of God. Are you committed to the things of God? Are you going all the way? You see, when Jesus took the cup and he looked at that cup in prayer, he had to get to the point of nevertheless. You see, the point of nevertheless says, I don't care if I'm rejected. I don't care if I have to give my life. I don't care whatever I have to go through for the promises and the eternal life of God. I will press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You've got to get to the point in your life of nevertheless. If nobody else worship God, nevertheless, I'll worship God. If nobody else give, nevertheless, I will give to God. If no one else read their Bible, nevertheless, I will read my Bible. If no one lift their hands in praise, nevertheless, I will lift my hands and I will praise the Lord, because I'm committed to the things of God. Job was committed to the things of God. The Bible says Job rose up early. He did sacrifices even for his kids, amen, before his problems ever came. See, when you're committed to the things of God, you do those things right before problems and situations come. And when Job lost everything, the Bible says he still worshiped God. If you lose everything, are you going to worship God? Or are you going to walk away? Most people start losing things and they want to blame God. You have to be committed. Job worshiped God. When his wife tried to get him to curse God and die, Job, because he was committed to God, he says, "You speak as a foolish woman speak." When his friends begin to accuse him of being wrong, Job puts it this way: "My foot have held his steps. His ways have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Amen. Job says God is more important than anything. He says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. He alone is my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not stand before him." You see, Job was committed to the things of God. And you and I must be committed to the things of God. Job understood these things. And this is why the book of Job is for you and I to read, to encourage us, amen, to commit ourselves to the things of God as well. You see, marriages fail because there's no commitment. People quit church because there's no commitment. "Oh, they offended me." Really? You kidding me? You're going to let somebody come between you and God? My Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." If you let anything come between you and God, it's closer to God than you are. People quit jobs because they're not committed. People don't reach their goals because they're not committed. People quit right at the finish line. See, the way you gain faith is you do things that you're scared to do. You see, repentance alone is not going to get you into heaven. Baptism in Jesus' name alone is not going to get you to heaven. Following peace with all men and living holy is not going to get you to heaven. Those things just get you on the road to heaven. It takes commitment to get you across the line to the other end. It takes commitment to follow and keep those things in your life if you're going to get to heaven. You've got to get the attitude of Ruth. When Ruth was told by Naomi to go back, Ruth says to her, "Entreat me not to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, there will I die, and that's where I will be." She was committed to the things of God. She had commitment. When her mother-in-law said, "Go back," Ruth says, "No, I got a vow. I made a promise, and I'm going to keep my promise. I don't know about you, but I've made vows to God, and I'm not going back. I'm going to keep it. My God is going to be the real God. Amen. I've got his people. It's going to be my people." And because she committed herself, the Bible says she met a man named Boaz. And her and Boaz had a son. And they call him Obed, who's the father of Jesse, who's the father of King David, who's the father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to the flesh. I want you to know, when she committed herself, God saw her commitment. This is why when Elijah threw his mantle upon Elisha and says, "Stay here, because God has sent me to Bethel," he says, "As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave you." He committed himself to the man of God, amen. And he followed
followed him. The first place Elijah takes him is to Bethel, the house of God. He wanted him to understand, if you're going to have a ministry, it's got to flow from the house of God. You have to be committed first and foremost to the house of God if you're going to be chosen by God. If you're not committed to the house of God, you will never be chosen by God. The next place he takes him into Jericho. Jericho represents obedience, because it was here that the children of Israel had to walk around and be quiet and obey what God had told them to do. If you're not going to be obedient to the things of God, you will never be chosen by God. And as he was told to go back, he says, as my soul liveth, I will not leave you. He followed him all the way. And then Elisha says to him, stay here, because God has sent me across the Jordan. He says, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave you. And when they crossed the Jordan River, he got on the other side. And Elijah said to him, what do you want? He says, I just want a double portion of your spirit. And because he had committed himself to go all the way to the end, he got a double portion of the Spirit of Almighty God. He got a double portion. Why am I telling you this story? You've got to go all the way if you want the promises of God. You cannot just start and quit. Amen. You've got to commit yourself to say, God promised it, and I'm going all the way to the other side. Amen. To get the promises of God. Eternal life, amen, is waiting on you. But you have to commit yourself to obtain eternal life. The woman with the issue of blood had an issue, her blood condition, but she committed herself constantly. She spent all of her money committing herself to try to find a cure. And when somebody told her about Jesus, she said within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. And one day, amen, Jesus came into the area where she was, and she began to press her way through the crowd. Do you know what it means to press your way through the crowd? It means you don't care about anybody else on your right. It don't care about anybody on your left or who's in front of you and behind you. You understand what you need from God. And as a result, you are willing to commit yourself to go after the things that God has for you. And as she began to press herself through the crowd, amen, she was able to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, and she was made completely whole. All because she had commitment in her heart. The Bible lets us know that there was a man which had a condition 38 years. And he was at the pool, and the waters was troubled once a season. And whoever was the first to get in was made completely whole. He had been in that condition for 38 years. Commitment. Every time the water was troubled, he was trying to make his way. And finally, because of his commitment, I believe, Jesus shows up. And Jesus says to him, will you be made completely whole? He says, sir, when the water is troubled, I'm coming. But someone else always step in before me. And Jesus simply said to him, take up your bed and walk. And immediately he was made whole, because he was committed, amen, to get what had been promised by God. What about you tonight? Are you committed to get what God has promised to you? He has promised you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are you willing to commit to go after it? He has promised you healing. Are you willing to commit to go after your healing? He has promised you deliverance. Are you willing to commit to go after your deliverance. Whatever your problem is, whatever your situation is, the Bible lets us know that the promises of God are yea and amen. The Bible lets me know that in Luke 4, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the broken hearts, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. But you have to commit yourself to the things of God if you want what God has for you. Are you committed? Are you committed to go all the way? Jesus says in Revelation 2 and 8 that the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you shall be tried, and you shall have tribulations 10 days. He says, but if you endure to the end, I will give you a crown of life. Notice, if you will commit yourself to go all the way, He will give you a crown of life. Peter, as he began to preach on the day of Pentecost, and as he began to talk to them about Jesus Christ, he says, I want all the house of Israel to know assuredly that that same Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they was pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourselves from this untowards generation. And they that gladly received his word was baptized, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they quit. It says they quit. They what? They committed to what? The doctrine. They committed to fellowship. They committed to breaking the bread. They committed to prayer. They was committed to the things of God, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you commit yourself to the things of God, this church will be overrunning. Amen. There will be no room in here. Amen. You have to commit yourself to the things of God. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Many are called, but few are chosen. But I want you to know that you can be chosen, because all you have to do is commit yourself to the Word of God and to the house of God and the things of God and the man of God, and God will choose you. This is what it's all about. Amen. You must go forth into things of God. If you're going to be the best saint of God, you've got to commit to the things of God. Problems are going to come, but you just have to commit yourself to say, I'm not going to stop, let it stop me. You know, there's nine letters in the word commitment. And stuck right in the middle is the letter I. That means without you, there's no commitment. Isn't it amazing that God puts these onuses on us? If you want commitment, it takes you. You have to do it. Did you know you can't even have trouble without you? So if you commit yourself to say, I'm not having any trouble. That's the attitude I've taken. I don't have any trouble. Because I ain't putting myself in it. Oh, you got trouble. No, I don't. My God's bigger than all my problems. He's bigger than all my fears. Because I have committed myself to Him. He holds me in the palm of His hands. My friend Scott Jacobs gave me a pen that says, God loves you, but I'm His favorite. Because I'm committed. Are you committed tonight? You see, when you're committed to God, you're not going to understand everything. This is why Paul, when he ended the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, he says, who shall separate us from the love of God? He said, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, perils, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep unto the slaughter. He says, nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that love us. For I am persuaded. How persuaded are you? That neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord, because I have committed myself to the things of Almighty God. And when you commit yourself to God, you have to have the same attitude that says nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. If you want the Holy Ghost, why don't you commit yourself over here tonight? If you want healing, why don't you commit yourself over here tonight? And everything else you have need of, why don't you come right down here tonight? These altars are open for you tonight. Come on, whatever you have need from God tonight, will you commit yourself? If you've never been baptized in the name